Hello and welcome to Nerd Alert.
Girls.
Hello, everybody. Before we get started, I want to take a moment to say that as residents of Los Angeles County, we acknowledge our presence, including virtual presence, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of Indigenous people who are variously referred to as the Gaborlino Tungva people and Keech Nation. I am your host, Bridget, pronouns she, hers.
I'm Jen with a G, pronouns she, hers. How's it going, everybody?
And I am Caroline, dropping in to this lovely episode to talk about the Thor trailer that just dropped.
It's so good to have you back, Caroline, first of all.
Thank you.
Yes.
Why don't you start us off here, Caroline? What are your thoughts? What was your first impression of this trailer?
Let's see. This is definitely one of the upcoming movies that I am more excited for. Thor is a character that I dig, and for the first couple of outings and a lot of his time in the Avengers, I feel like he just isn't handled super well. But Mr. Taika Waititi took a look at this character and this actor and was like, hey, you know what? I think Chris Hemsworth can do a lot more than he's been given here. And he's actually a pretty funny guy. So, you know, let's work with it. That's not really a Taika Waititi impression, just my generic New Zealand accent. You know, I like to use it sometimes. So anyway, I feel like he kind of was able to see like what works about Thor and what works about Chris Hemsworth and his performance. And it's that Chris Hemsworth is a really funny guy, you know. And I feel like because he's attractive, he kind of just gets sort of boxed into the, you know, I guess hunk category or whatever. It's just like, okay, stand and pose and show your muscles, but. When you let him do other stuff, he's really good at it. And also, I think he looked at, you know, I'm maybe projecting here, but I feel like he looked at the previous two movies and was like, okay, why are these on Earth? You know, this is about a space god. Let's put it in space and make it fun and colorful. You know, it doesn't have to be like, quote unquote, grounded. Like, that's not the point of this thing. So Thor, Love, and Thunder did sound like a lot of fun just from the announcement of it and who was behind it and kind of what was going into it. So I am looking forward to this movie.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Before I watch the trailer. So what do you guys think of the actual trailer?
I might have lost my mind a little. It's fine. Just, I'm like, I swear, I think one sweet child of mine was like playing a little in the background. I'm like, go on. And I swear I am psyched for this. It looks funny, heartwarming, really soul-searching, you know, from what we've seen of Thor. And I'm like pleased to see that a lot of familiar faces. I'm like, all right, we're getting the Guardians back. I see Valkyrie there and Lady Thor. Well, 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 you know, it's nice to have some confirmation on things, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, yeah, I was definitely excited for Thor, Love, and Thunder. And I guess we're gonna jump right ahead since you brought up Lady Thor already. I mean, I didn't expect to actually see her. So Same. That was a nice, yeah, that was a nice treat that at the very last minute, I'm like, buff Natalie Portman.
Yes!
I live for it! I live for it! You guys, that is so exciting to me. Seriously, like, that is so, just like, Lady Thor, man, that is awesome. And like, I love that it's, I don't know, there's something really poetic about Mjolnir, her calling Mjolnir, that you could see is all like, I guess, bandaged up, so to speak, you know? Yes. What I mean, like, there's something about that, like, in terms of like, it was broken, everything had fallen apart, right? It's a reflection of how Thor's life had fallen apart, and like, he's leaving that life behind, you know, and then someone else has picked up the pieces, so to speak, and taken on the mantle, which I don't know. There's just something, again, just like sort of poetic that like is really cool and neat and like kind of, I don't know, just like a nice visual cue in terms of, you know, that transition between the two of them.
Yes, very nice. I noticed that Mjolnir was all messed up too, and it took me a moment to like, wait, what happened? Oh, that's right. Hela totally destroyed it. Oh my gosh. Where did Jane get the pieces from? You know, I kind of lost my mind a little there too, and I'm just like, okay. Okay, bring on Natalie Portman. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm here for it. And I'm wondering how much of the comics they're going to put in, because even though I don't know a lot about, like, Lady Thor, I do know that the reason that, well, part of the reason that she became Thor is because the character Jane Foster has cancer, and that being Thor, like, stops the disease, but also kind of accelerates it too, you know? So I wonder if they're going to bring that up in any way, you know? So I'm curious to see. Oh, or if they'll explain her absence in Ragnarok, you know? I know there was a, oh, it's a mutual dumping or whatever, but I wonder, like, if we're going to hear her side of it, you know?
Oh, like, if something else will, though. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, did she, like, dump him or the mutual dumping or whatever because she had cancer or whatever the case, you know? I know they're going to touch upon that, but I'm curious to see how much they'll get into it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Is it confirmed that that she actually is going to have cancer in this, like, adaptation?
I haven't heard anything about that.
Let's see. I actually have pulled up the Wikipedia page, and I know we should not trust Wikipedia, but it does say, you know, under the cast with Natalie Portman as Jane Foster / Mighty Thor, an astrophysicist and Thor's ex-girlfriend who is undergoing cancer treatment while becoming the superhero of the Mighty Thor, gaining a costume and power similar to Thor's while wielding a reconstructed version of his hammer, Mjolnir. You know, so I'm like, all right, so is that, like, where'd you get your source? Because, again, I know that's something in the comics, but are they going to translate from comic to movie? Because I know we've all talked before about how, like, the comics, like, you don't have to follow everything in order to tell a good story in the MCU, but, like, some things I'll admit to being particular about, but I'm just, like, I'm looking at this Wikipedia page, like, okay. I'm guessing that's going to be her backstory, just like in the comics, but I don't know. I guess it's one of those, we'll have to wait and see. When's this coming out? July? I can wait 3 months, more or less.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I kind of didn't expect them to go there, and I guess it's just because, like, well, I was going to say because, like, the Thor series has, you know, they've taken, like, Taika Waititi has kind of taken in a more lighthearted direction. But I guess that's not entirely true, though, because even with Thor Ragnarok, like, they lost their home, you know? It was, like, super fun and super colorful, and it was very, very funny, but he also wasn't afraid to go darker in terms of the thematic material. So actually, now that I say it out loud, I'm like, well, like, he could actually go there, and he could actually develop that really well. So mm-hmm. I think it is definitely a distinct possibility. I just think it'd be sad at the same time. That's all.
Yeah, and I also sort of feel like Thor, the character, has been kind of defined by loss really since Thor the Dark World, you know? Because it's like, even in Ragnarok, you know, it starts out with him having been dumped, and then his dad dies. And then in in Infinity War, Loki dies, *? There's no fire there, because we know that the Loki variant is still kicking around somewhere, or like that Loki or another version of Loki. So yeah, Loki dies, as far as Thor is concerned, Loki is dead. And then In Endgame, a big part of his arc is feeling like he's failed and he hasn't been able to avenge and, you know, protect his family. And then he gets to see his mother for the last time. And now he's presumably, you know, moving forward and kind of trying to figure out who he is. And he also lost his people. And so, yeah, Thor is just really defined by loss, I feel like, for a, you know, theoretically kind of shallow, a character a lot of people write off as shallow. I feel like he has been through a lot.
Poor baby needs therapy.
Everybody in this universe needs therapy.
all the therapy. Looks like he's doing some soul searching, though, from what we see in the beginning of the trailer, where you see him just kind of watching the sun and such, and he's like, these hands were made to fight, but now they'll be used for peace.
Yeah, you know, but something about that ring, so not hollow, but just feels like a little tongue-in-cheek, you know what I mean? Like, it feels a little too dramatic, like, I'm gonna go and, like, meditate and with my man bun and sit very peacefully on a hill as I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, also just, like, you know, props if they do have a way of resolving this that doesn't involve a fight, but, like, it's gonna involve a fight at some point. Like, that's the thing about
yes.
things, is most of them involve fights, even when they don't really have to. It's just kind of, you know, they can sometimes mix up the fight. You know, hopefully it won't be a fight with a blue space laser, but, you know, it'll be some kind of fight. I can't imagine that Thor is going to really, you know, put down Stormbreaker and stop fighting. But, you know, again, maybe that could be part of the sort of the tragedy of Thor, is that he can't stop doing that, even if he wants
to.
You know,
oh, that'd be wow.
Yeah.
Be out there protecting the universe, you know?
I mean, it does remind me a little bit of, yes, I'm doing it, Steve Rogers in terms of...
I'm glad it was you and not me.
I have a relevant point, I promise. In terms of, I think of that, you know, the Ultron dream where, you know, it's like you're a man who is always trapped in war. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like a reminder of that. But Steve doesn't stay in war. He goes and retires and lives happily ever after with Peggy. So, like, is there an option where Thor doesn't fight and, like, this is, like, say, Chris Hemsworth, Thor's, like, last movie, and, like, it's, like, really just, like, he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not picking up Stormbreaker. I'm not picking up Mjolnir. Or maybe he does for the last time. And then he's like, no, that's really it, you know, and I'm following in this footsteps of Steve Rogers, so to speak, and just, like, really actually putting my foot down about this.
Yeah, a lot of people are speculating about that. Like, I was looking through the YouTube comments, and a lot of people are like, this is gonna be his last movie, isn't it? Oh my gosh, you know, now that we have, like, another Thor, so to speak, to fill the mantle, you know, I know, like, in comics, our Thor, he still pops up, but he's just not as active, I guess, as Jane Foster Thor. So we gotta buckle in, folks. This might be Chris Hemsworth's last movie, and I'm hoping that he just gets to retire and be happy instead of them, like, killing him or something absurd. They can't do that to me. I will not allow it.
Normally I'm down with characters dying tragically, but not this guy. Like,
he's been through so much. He deserves a happy ending.
It's just not, I just don't feel like it's right for who he is, you know. He, again, I feel like his story is so defined by loss. And, you know, maybe if you want to get actual Norse about it, then yeah, that would be what happened at the end of the story, is like, well, you know, that's life. Everybody dies and then you die and such is everything. Let's go to Valhalla, people. Like, that would fit with that, but that's not, again, the way his story has been told and really who he is, because it feels like a lot of Thor's character arc is about, you know, coming back from that loss, to me, is that that's kind of a symbol of Thor, is he's this very decent person who's been through a lot and hasn't let it destroy him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He still manages to be, you know, kind and caring and to stand up for the right causes and... again, fight to protect other people, so.
Oh, yeah. Despite life shoving him down, he gets right back up.
Exactly. You might even say he can do this all day.
Ha ha! Ha,
there it is! There it is!
All right, we got the Steve Rogers references out of the way. Who knows? More might pop up later, but we've done our duty today, Caroline.
I wish the two of them did get in a little more time together, you know? I just feel like they instinctively get each other, and we don't really see much of that.
We have fan fiction for it.
Yeah, no, we have rant for another day, you guys. Anyway, I just want to say too, I really can't believe that I manifested Thor hanging out with the Guardians of the Galaxy. When I first saw that, their first interaction together, I was like, I need a movie with them together in it. And I don't think they'll be together for the whole movie. I mean, we see a good portion of the trailer with him and Korg, which is great. But, you know, I'm like, oh, this is something that I really wanted. And now I see them interacting, him and the Guardians. There's definitely a god. Sorry, I kind of stole that joke from Young Sheldon. Anyway, yeah, but like, I really love that, it's like the voiceover from Peter, like, don't forget, like, about the, you know, the people you love, or what's the exact line that he says?
He's like, if you're feeling lost, you know, just look into the eyes of those you love, you know, and he's looking right at his team, sans Gamora, you know, but he's just looking at them just with so much fondness, like, that's my family, that's my chosen family, and then Thor's just poking his head through, like, me too, right?
Too right, and I'm like, oh, and Peter's like, not you, not me, and I'm like, why not you, Peter?
Like, not you.
Like,
Peter's a jerk, that's why.
I was gonna say, I'm like, I would like you better, Peter, if you would be kind to Thor, because there was a, it cuts earlier, because, Thor is like taking off his cloak and it lands on a random blue alien behind him, which is really funny. But then it cuts to like Peter rolling his eyes, and I just bet there's going to be some very inappropriate, unnecessary fat joke being made, like, oh, I thought you were out of shape or whatever, and now you're back to being all hot and hunky or whatever. I'm sure that's what's going to be what goes down there.
Man, right. Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, okay, without Gamora to sort of temper the Guardians, I think that's kind of up to, Nebula at this point. I'm like, she's the straight-laced one, right? Compared to all these reckless people. And Thor's not exactly reckless. And even though he's definitely chilled out since we first saw him, he's still flinging his cloak off on some random alien, so there's still a little boyishness there.
Just a little bit, yeah. But that's why I like him and Peter vibing together, honestly. Like, I think that's just, like, a really fun dynamic. I don't know. I love seeing Peter get annoyed. I feel like he's usually the annoyer, not the annoyee. You know what I mean?
He's used to being the hot mess, like literal hot mess. But now you got Thor, who's hotter and kind of a mess in his own way. And Peter's just like, damn it.
No, he's hotter and messier. It's like, yes. Peter's worst nightmare, your basic nightmare for Peter.
Yes. The other Guardians are just like, yes, Thor. And Peter's just like, no. No.
Yeah. I personally, like, I do like your point about how Peter now has to deal with being annoyed by someone else and not doing all the annoying. And I hope that prompts some kind of existential crisis. I'm also, like, I think it would be kind of funny it would be kind of a cliche, but kind of funny if, like, the Guardians were just a complete dumpster fire without Gamora and they had to, like, beg her to come back or something.
I mean, isn't that what's going to happen? That's totally my theory of what's going to happen.
What's going to happen, yeah.
Oh, that's just canon, yeah.
Canon. I thought that was just, like, a given, yeah.
It's given, yeah.
But I just, like, I hope we don't get too much of, like, Peter bullying Thor because he resents him or something, you know? Like, I do not enjoy that dynamic of, like, one character being perfectly nice and then another character, like, you know, going out of their way to antagonize them. I mean, again, character, but
I am genuinely curious as to how long the Guardians are going to be there for this movie, you know, if they're going to be there for the whole thing, a good chunk, or we're just going to drop him off at this planet and just leave because we don't want him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's also a good point. It's really hard to tell, kind of based off of the synopsis and the trailer and everything, like, how much of this is going to be, you know, Guardians 2.5 and how much is going to be, you know, a legit Thor movie.
Yeah, definitely. I am pleased to see that Korg is back. Our sweet baby rock man. Thank you for bringing him.
I guess they have him, they like, or he has the Guardians drop him off at on the planet on Ragnarok, right? Or not on Ragnarok. What's the name of the planet? Sakaar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, because Jeff Goldblum is coming back. So, all right.
Yeah, not the character, just Jeff Goldblum.
Grandmaster's coming back. I say the actor's name. Yes, Jeff Goldblum is back. I mean, Grandmaster. Yes, he's back.
No, I know what you mean. I just want to make I'm just making a joke about how weird Jeff Goldblum is and saying that he's not even playing a character this time. It's just going to be him.
No, it's Jeff Goldblum.
Dude, yeah.
He is a treasure.
Oh, man. That should be interesting. I'm like, all right, we got Korg. We got Jeff Goldblum. I mean, Grandmaster. We got the Guardians. Let's see. We got Kraglin supposedly coming back. I'm like, all right.
Oh, yeah. There was a shot of him.
Trailer.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, totally
when when like the Guardians are all scattering, you see him on like the right hand side, like beside Peter.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, so he's there. Confirmed.
Confirmed. All right.
I want to see him and Nebula interact more. I thought they're
Yes. Yes. I need that.
Yeah. You know what would be super cute is if he bought her a hat.
If he bought her a hat. A nice necklace or whatever the hell he had talked to her about.
Oh, gosh.
You know, something to make the other girls jealous.
Oh my gosh. Listen, you guys, I already have that weird crack ship now with her and Cha-Cha. Now I have to deal with the Kraglin.
Oh my gosh.
Cute with the hat. You guys.
Oh my gosh.
Cha-Cha.
You don't remember T'Challa from the What If?
Yeah.
Oh, got it. T'Challa's nickname. Okay.
Yeah.
There
Cha-Cha.
We go.
Slain.
Okay, I feel like What If precludes crack ships. Like, just
yes.
The premise. You know, it may be a crack ship in the main continuity, but it totally isn't in What If, because it makes total sense there.
Yes,
no,
I'm here
you're
for
right.
It.
It just, because it's What If, maybe that, like, still makes it feel like a crack. I don't know. Anyway.
I actually have a friend who mentioned after we were talking about Guardians 2 that she kind of shipped Kraglin and Nebula, and now I kind of can't unsee it.
it's out there in the universe.
It's out there now. Now I kind of ship it. Now our listeners probably ship it. What has your friend done, Caroline?
he's also a very powerful sorceress.
Yes. I accept that.
But like, I just feel like if Nebula is going to get together with someone, they would have to be kind of just nice and generally chill, you know? Because like,
yes,
yeah, she's just got a lot of anger, and she's, you know, had a rough life, and she just kind of needs someone who's just kind of nice and mellow and chill to balance her out. I'm a big fan of the like the pairings where they kind of balance each other.
I dig those so much.
Yeah, that's valid. I'm into that. Oh, well, speaking of ships, though, I mean, what do you think will, I mean, obviously they don't give us much here with the trailer, but what do you think will come out of, or will anything come out of the Thor and Jane dynamic?
That's a really good question, because,
oh, man.
Like, I mean, that's a question we have in terms of the whole, like, Jane coming back, and also, you know, I think Jen's theory about the potential explanation for why it is that she and Thor didn't work out, or, like, what was going on with her this whole time, that she's, you know, dealing with a really serious illness. You know, if that's the reason, I mean, I feel like that could kind of potentially put them back on track. You know, if they're like, okay, we broke up, but she's like, actually, I had this really difficult thing going on in my life. You know, it wasn't because I don't like you. And I still kind of do, but now it's more complicated because I have superpowers.
I think there's definitely going to be some tension between them, that romantic tension, maybe even a one last kiss, but I'm banking on them not getting back together.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm feeling too. Although this is a ship that I used to be more down on, but am now think I can see the possibilities of. I mean, again, in What If, I feel like they were very cute together.
Yes. I was just thinking that. I mean, I didn't want to bring up What If again, but I might as well bring up What If again. Like, I ship Party Thor and Jane, like, very hard. So, like, the potential is actually there. Like, what if, I mean, did its job in terms of opening up my eyes to another possibility, which was that ship, really. But, yeah, I mean, and plus, like, I mean, there's that random blue-haired lady he was kissing, though. Like, right. What was that about? I have no idea.
I couldn't really see her face, so I guess I feel like there are maybe a couple of candidates. It seemed like she had, like, naturally black hair that had been dyed and kind of pale skin. So I'm thinking, and she also had that scarf on, so you can't quite see her head. But I was wondering if that means maybe it's Mantis and her antennae are out of the way because of the scarf.
I don't know. I wonder if it's Sif, because I know she's coming back.
She's the other person I was wondering about. Because, yeah, Sif is coming back. And, again, it looks like it could maybe be Jamie Alexander, but it's just really hard to tell because it's so quick. And, again, she's got something on her head, her hair is different, and she kind of swirls around. So,
yeah. Hard to say, truly, but I'm just like, Thor, who are you kissing? Jane? What are you doing? Theories floating around there, folks. Although I did hear a rumor that Valkyrie, they're going to explore her bisexuality a little bit in this movie. And I'm like, I know Valkyrie and Sif are a popular fanon ship. I'm not sure if it's actually canon, but I know that's definitely a huge one in fan fiction. So I'm like, I wonder about that a little, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, while we're on the subject of romance, although I do have a note that's always kind of bothered me. Look, I'm very, very down for more bisexual ladies in media, but have we ever gotten any indication that Valkyrie likes men?
None that we could see, although people would probably be like, oh my gosh, she and Bruce, and I'm like, no, is a bromance.
The only thing I could think of is, like, that moment in Ragnarok where, like, her and Thor land on, like, the ship, like, at the same time, and they're standing really close, and he kind of smirks at her, but, like, I'm like, I don't know if that indicates interest on her part, though. So, like, that's the only, like, vaguely maybe shippy moment I could even think of with her and a man.
Yeah. That's the thing, is it's like, I feel like some people sort of kind of took it for granted that she was Thor's love interest in Ragnarok, but, you know, I'm not going to say I didn't see it, because I feel like the actors clearly, you know, have nice chemistry. The characters, you know, like and respect each other, which is a good foundation for a relationship. So I wouldn't be against the two of them getting together. But I'm just kind of curious as to where the whole Valkyrie is bisexual thing comes from, since we know she had a girlfriend, but that got cut. And although, you know, I feel like there's enough left that it was just heavily implied.
Yeah.
So we know she likes ladies, and she's going to be looking for her queen in this.
Oh, for sure.
So, but like, does she like guys? I don't know. But I guess that, you know, now that we're talking about romance and Valkyrie, who is going to be Valkyrie's queen?
I volunteer as tribute.
We can't all be her queen.
I mean,
she's adorable.
She also looks really bored in that
she
trailer.
Does. She totally does. Like, she'd be a great king, queen of Asgard, but I'm guessing all the politics of it, that must be disgusting. Just, no thank you.
That's the thing about her, is that, like, I definitely get her kind of, you know, at one point she was a leader, and then, you know, she was kind of drinking her way through life for a while and didn't, you know, want to be involved and stuff. And then, you know, we hear that she kind of transitioned into being, you know, someone who is there for, like, the Asgardian community. And, like, I'm not going to say I can't see that, but I also just kind of can't see her, yeah, sitting through, like, a lot of those kind of boring bureaucracy that, you know, ruling would entail. Like, that's the thing, people. You know, if you picture, like, a medieval monarch just sitting there and giving commands, like, well, one, if you're talking about the Middle Ages, most of them weren't actually that powerful. But in the era of absolute monarchs, it's like you always had a lot of people, or like Roman emperors had a massive bureaucracy underneath them. Because, you know, if states really, really are completely absolute, run by one person, it doesn't tend to work out very well. It's much better to have a big group of underlings who, you know, are all like, oh yes, of course, we are just doing Saya's wishes, and then, you know, go off and actually do stuff. That's usually how monarchies work. Because, again, you can't really trust a lot of the people at the top to do that kind of thing. But Valkyrie, despite being a trustworthy person, I feel like would get very bored with, again, the sort of mind-numbing bureaucracy and the inertia and all the decision-making and stuff that goes into actually governing. And maybe the whole, like, find her queen thing is kind of a excuse to, like, go off and be like, oh, sorry, I need a queen, you know? Can't be king without a queen. Gotta go find one.
Right.
Thor comes back as the queen. Like, imagine.
I am dead.
Okay, I would love that. I mean, I'd kind of, like, hate how queerbaity that would be, but I would also love it if Valkyrie came back and she's like, I'm the king and Thor's the queen. And he's like, yay, verily, I am the queen. I have the prettiest locks in all the land. I mean, there is actually a story in the Norse mythology where Thor dresses up like a lady and goes to a giant wedding to get his hammer back. So maybe
I'm here for it.
That's it. Valkyrie dresses Thor up as her queen. That's how she deals with it. She's like, oh yeah, I found one, and it's just Thor in a dress. And he's like, I am Thorina.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Yeah, that would be fun. I don't think it'll happen, but that it's just a fun idea.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see. I feel like it's probably going to be Sif or maybe Jane. I don't know. I feel like Sif would make a lot of sense. But
poor Sif has waited a long time to be with Thor.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Aw. Yeah, I mean, that's the difficulty with Sith is I kind of like her as a character, but because she's sort of, like, written as the also-ran, I feel like her relationship with Thor doesn't get to be as fleshed out as it could be, you know? The only time I felt like I really understood where she was coming from was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, like, that, I felt like that was a really great character moment when I think it's either Amora or Lorelai. I think it's Lorelai is like taunting her. I'm sorry, it's been a while since I watched this episode. Is kind of taunting her about how, like, Sif, you follow all the rules, but you don't get anything you want. You know, you don't get the crown, you don't get to be the leader, you don't get Thor. And, like, I don't know, that to me is definitely an angle on Sif instead of just, like, I don't know, badass, cool warrior lady. It's like, Sif is the one who follows the rules and does the right thing, and it doesn't get her anywhere.
I do remember that. Honestly I think and I'm pretty sure it was Lorelai Caroline, because it has been a really long time since I've seen that arc too, but I still remember it pretty distinctly, that whole thing. Their interactions and everything. Yeah, because it actually gave her depth. I'm like, yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just deserve to be appreciated more. I need to say that. It really did.
Yeah, and I feel like more minor MCU characters should have ended up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a guest role. So it can be like, hey, let's flesh you out. Let's give you some of this, you know, fun character writing that this show likes to do.
Yeah, no, they're really great. They were really great at developing character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I have to say. Anyway, anything else about the trailer for Love and Thunder?
Let's see. Oh, this isn't about the trailer, but I know one of the things I've been hearing kicking around the internet is the possibility that Valkyrie's queen will be Amora the Enchantress. She hasn't been, but it could be like a surprise reveal or something. I don't think that's likely. Again, I feel like they would have cast her and then we'd see concept art and pictures and everything if she was going to be in this. But it's just something I've heard, you know, because, again, right now we're sort of, it's sort of hard to see her with any of these women because she hasn't interacted with any of them yet. So, you know, she's just as likely as Jane or Sif at this point. Again, we don't know if any of them have ever talked to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting you brought up Amora, Caroline, because I just read the Loki young adult novel with Amora in it. So good. But I won't go so into good. The tangent, but it is very good. If you guys haven't read it by Mackenzie Lee, it's great. But yeah. Oh, you know, and I guess just like one like visual thing I just really liked about the trailer where it opens with a Thor running from a boy to a teenager to a man. I just thought that was a cool visual.
Very too. Cool.
And like him meditating, it's very Lion King with the big tree.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like there's just like a lot of really great visual cues throughout this trailer that I think that I've talked about plenty already, so I won't do it again. But yeah, I just really like that.
Yeah.
For sure, definitely.
I mean, I like the overall sort of like colorfulness and funness of this, although I am a little bit worried about how 80s-tastic it seems to be. I'm not a big fan of the 80s. And I know the last one was called kind of 80s, but it didn't bother me. And this one, I'm a little concerned. I'm like, I hope it doesn't lean too hard on the 80s. If it doesn't, I'm cool. If it does, I'll probably still be cool. But just like, we had a lot of 80s nostalgia in the last decade, and I'm kind of done with it, okay, guys?
All right. Noted.
Thank you.
I will be sure to make an 80s song our outro today for the episode.
Oh, my God.
No, are you kidding? We get copyrighted for that.
Oh, snap. Yes.
Yeah, no, you're right.
We don't need this.
Maybe we just need, like, a generic guitar riff or something. Yeah. But yeah, so that's my one note on the aesthetics. And then I guess I'm kind of curious because we're not seeing some other characters who we know have been announced, like, you know, Russell Crowe is playing Zeus and Christian Bale.
Well, he shows up briefly.
Okay, that was him. Okay, because I know Christian Bale is supposed to be in this as, let me see here, Gore the God Butcher.
God Butcher, yeah. So I'm like, okay, he's probably going to fight Thor at some point. I mean, it's called the God Butcher. He probably has an axe to grind.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess that makes sense that is Zeus that we kind of see from the background.
Cause that's what I figured, right?
Yeah, because he's holding the lightning. Yeah.
I'm like, Zeus? I'm okay.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe. I see that now. Yes, thank you.
Yep. I live to serve.
Yeah. Well, that'll be that'll be interesting to see like what their take is on, you know, the Greek mythology. I mean, it makes sense because it kind of fits into this whole, like, it's pretty easy to jam other mythologies into their idea of like, well, you know, they're just super advanced aliens and people saw them in ye old times and didn't realize that they were just aliens type of thing. So, you know, that you can definitely, you know, cram a bunch of different gods in that way. So it'll be interesting to kind of see where they go with that or how they portray Zeus as well. You know, are they going to go with the more like pop culture portrayal of him or something more like the actual myths or what, you know, it's interesting. And also, again, how many other gods and pantheons are there out there? How many? I must know.
this is important to Caroline. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how they're gonna, I mean, I have a feeling there's going to be an element of the ridiculous about Zeus, just something about everything being spray painted gold from like
Yeah, so you think Zeus maybe turn out to be like a fake god who's like, again, probably some random alien who's pretending he's Zeus or something like
that.
I mean
just from like the very cursory, I mean, we only see his back, you know, but just like from the aesthetic, if you could even call it that, it's very like spray painted gold, like sort of like over the top. I don't know if he's necessarily a fake versus just like a little ridiculous is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like Asgard is kind of tacky too. Like, they got the big rainbow bridge and all the random sort of fake looking gold stuff. So, you know, just it just seems like what gods wear in this universe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But
the only person, the only like god person who has looked like super cool while also being really theatrical is Hela, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
accepted.
Yeah. Anyway.
yeah, she actually does look goddess-like, but also, like, you know, not in a kind of old-fashioned or sort of pared-down way. She, like, she's very over-the-top. Like, yeah, that's just the cool thing about her design, is it's, like, it's crazy over-the-top, but it totally works, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, any other thoughts on this trailer, on the movie in general, what you're excited for, what you're not so excited for, theories, anything else?
July cannot come quick enough. That's all I have to say.
I'm looking forward to it. I've got no real theories. Although I like the idea that there's something wonky about spray painted Zeus. he has spray painted everything gold. Like, that would be a great reveal if it's like, turns out he actually looks spray painted because it is.
Yeah, that'd be great. Hey, Ken accepted.
I guess my random note would be that I want Mantis to have some kind of cool moment to herself.
Please. You know? Yes, that would be great.
Like, either have some people be very nice to her and have her, like, have a cool, like, social moment, or a cool, some kind of plot progression moment where she uses her powers and it actually works this time, instead of, like, it doesn't work and then the rest of the heroes have to finish something, so.
Or, I mean, in her defense, you know, getting knocked in the head isn't necessarily the same as it not working, but.
Yeah. No, I meant more sort of from a, like, a hand of the author type of a thing.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
For me, like, the thing about Mantis is that her powers are kind of crazy powerful. Like, she can really do a lot in terms of, like, putting a god to sleep, you know. That takes a lot of effort. And also just, yeah, that having that ability to control emotions and cognition in somebody else who is, again, extremely, extremely powerful. Like, that's a crazy big power, and I feel like it should be something where she, you know, gets to save the day, but the writers are always like, and she got knocked in the head, okay, she's out, you know. Or like, and Peter messed things up, so Thanos is awake now.
No comment.
None whatsoever.
Oh, also, I just wanted to give you, Bridget, before you mentioned that you didn't want to mention What If too much, but as far as I'm concerned, What If cannot be mentioned too much, so I humbly request that you mention What If as much as possible, you know, just for me.
Well, I know, I mean, I said everything that I wanted to say, I think, as far as What If goes. I just don't want to take us on too long of a tangent when we're talking about one particular thing. No, yes, I will bring up What If whenever the mood strikes me. Oh, you know what? Actually, now that you mention it, like, the whole buff Jane thing makes me wonder, like, can I get a buff Haley Atwell as Captain Carter, please and thank you?
Please. Yes.
It's possible. You've shown me it's possible. Give it to me. Just
put that out in the universe, please. Yes.
I think they would be very, very stupid to not capitalize on that. Like, people loved that episode and that concept and that fan, like, you know, there was a gazillion fan arts and cosplays of Captain Carter. Like, I mean, I don't know if there was a gazillion, but, you know, let me live in a fantasy world, okay? You know, they're like, people really love that design. It would be a knock out of the park. Like, people clearly still love that franchise, and, you know, and people love Haley and people love Peggy and that character, you know, 10 years, you know, 11 years after she was introduced to us. So, yeah, I am equally trying to manifest a buff Haley Atwell as Captain Carter at some
point.
All day, every day. Yes.
Combine our powers, maybe it'll happen.
All right. Got to form a trio.
Yeah. If we can't get Agent Carter season 3, give me this, please.
Yeah. I feel like even as much as I held out hope for Agent Carter season 3 for a long time, but I just don't think it'll happen. I mean, my absolute dream would be alternate timeline where Steve comes back, and what happens, you know, their kind of covert missions and operations and shenanigans going on in like the 1940s and 50s during the Cold War. And there's plenty of time for us to get like super soldier buff Peggy or something during that, you know, especially if Steve retires to be a stay-at-home dad, which, just saying, he might.
Yes.
Well,
yes. All right. All those headcanons aside, though, I am really excited for Thor: Love and Thunder, and excited to see Taika Waititi at the helm again, and to Billy Korg again. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
So Thor, my baby, whether this is your last movie or not, I am very excited to see you. I'm excited to see Buff Jane. I'm excited for all the things, and I guess we'll be talking more about it soon on Nerd Alert Girls. So. Thank you all so much for listening, and if you want to keep up with us, you can hit us up on our website, nerdalertgirls.tumblr.com, rate us and review us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, and let your friends know about the show so other people can come and listen. Otherwise, yeah, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time on
Nerd Alert!
Girls.
Bye!
Bye.
Bye.